Speak very loud, very often, but you know how that goes. Thank you. Is that on?
Yes, sir.
All right, we're ready to go. We were just in a missions conference in Michigan. One of the missionaries that was there grew up in the church we were in. And as he shared testimony, he said, "You cannot understand what it's like to stand in the pulpit of my home church." And as he said that, I was thinking, yeah, I can understand it. He was standing in the pulpit of the church he grew up in. Right now I'm standing in the pulpit of the church that I grew up in. Because I got born again in this church, and so spiritually, I was raised in Mukwonago Baptist Church. And what an awesome responsibility to stand here. Pastor, thank you. Just imagine, Pastor, given the opportunity to spend 2-3 hours tonight sharing the gospel with you and sharing other truths. And, you know, it's amazing that he would do that, you know, for me. But I'm thankful for that. If the message tonight is a little bit of rambling, understand, I'm very tired. But beyond that, my heart is divided. A divided heart is not good. But my heart is divided, I think, in a good way. I am so anxious to get back to Kenya, to get back home to see what's going on. I'm anxious to get together with Eliakim and with Alexander and with Julius and talk to those guys about what they're doing in this new church plants that they're working on. It's exciting to think about what's going on there. I'm anxious to get there. But at the same time, my heart is heavy, knowing that I have to say goodbye. I mentioned to somebody today, we have to leave home to go home, which is really a difficult thing. One of the things, Stephen, you may have heard me say this before, but probably the most difficult thing that a missionary faces is that no matter where we are, we miss somebody. You know, when we're here, we miss there. When we're there, we miss here. So I'm just so thankful for the opportunity we've had to meet so many new people. Mrs. Raines has reminded me several times that a number of years ago I said something, and I'm going to say it again tonight. As I look around here, I ask myself a question, and I want to ask you the same question. How many of you will be here when we return 6 years from now? By God's grace, all of you and more. It's always a blessing to come back to church and see and meet new families. But there's always a sadness when I ask Pastor, well, what happened to this family that seemed so faithful and they were doing so well? So I hope Pastor doesn't have to share any of that with me the next time. You just be faithful to this church. I had a couple of goals in mind for this furlough. Oh, turn in your Bibles to Psalm chapter 9. I might get to the Bible yet tonight. We'll see. I had a couple of goals for this furlough. And I always have as my number one goal on furlough is not to report to churches. It's never been to raise new support. My number one goal in furlough has always been to see my family reconnected to the ministry of Mukwonago Baptist Church. There in Kenya, we consider ourselves part of you. But we're not here, we're not involved in the work. It's been a blessing to see Aaron and Daniel get involved in Kids Club, going out on visitation. It's been a tremendous blessing to be able to be at the senior Bible studies, to be able to help out in vacation Bible school, to have the opportunity to speak in Kids Club. That's what I mean for my wife to go to the ladies' Bible study, for us to get reconnected with you, because you are us, and we are you. I feel very sad for those missionaries for whom their home church is just another stop on furlough. And that happens. You know, they come in, they actually call the pastor and make an appointment. I've never called pastor and asked for a meeting. I figure I'm coming home, and if he wants me to present the work, you know, we'll do that. If not, I don't care. I'm home. But some missionaries, that's what they do. They call their home pastor and say, I'm going to be passing through the area at such and such a time. Can I have a meeting? How ridiculous is that? We could have filled our entire schedule. I tried intentionally to keep Wednesday nights open so that we could at least be here on Wednesday night, several Sunday nights. I've had pastors and churches right in this area call me and say, do you have an open date? Brother Coots, Mrs. Rick, do you have an open date? I had some open dates. But I told them, you know, our schedule is just too full. Because I wanted to be here. I wanted my family to be here. I wanted to be here as much as we could. So that's always been one of my goals on furlough, to get reconnected with the ministry, to get to know the new people, to see the involvement there. And then, and while I'm on that subject, what a blessing the young men in this church have been to me. I know I've shared testimony with that before. But it's just a blessing to see these young men serving the Lord and so actively involved. I took them all out to Culver's a couple of weeks ago, Wednesday night service, and just told them, you know, I love you guys, and it's just an encouragement to me to see what's going on and the way you guys are working and serving. They actually had some questions, Pastor. They asked me to share any thoughts I had about dating and marriage. From my perspective, I told them, don't date. Leave the country, write letters. It works. It works. You realize, Pastor, December 17th this year, 30 years ago, you did our wedding? 30 years. Isn't that amazing? Oh, it's been a great 30 years, dear. Looking forward to the second 30. Amen. Now, I mentioned these young men. And you know who I'm talking about, the ones that are faithful and serving and singing in the choir and doing all the other things. How many high school young men do we have right now in the auditorium? Stand up if you're a high school young man. Stand up, stand up, stand up for Jesus. Look at me. All of you guys, look at me. These guys are getting married. They're getting involved in other ministries. Are you going to take their place? Are you going to stand up and do what these guys have done? What a tremendous opportunity you have, and you have, and you have, and you have, and you have. All of you have an opportunity to serve God in this church and grow and develop into the godly young men that you see setting the example before. You guys can sit down. Thank you. I'll be praying for you, praying that the next generation will take the same stand that these guys have taken. Anyway, that's been a blessing to me. The second goal I've had on furlough is to spend more time in the Bible. It's an amazing thing when you figure how busy we are on furlough. I actually, at least personally, have much more time to spend in prayer and Bible study than I do when I'm in Kenya. Because in Kenya, it seems like I'm up early in the morning and I'm out. You know, you're off to the work. Get up at 5, and even getting up at 5, sometimes by 7, have to leave. If I go to the Bible college, I leave at 7. If I have to go into town to go to the bank, which is frequent, I leave at 7 just so I can get parking anywhere near the bank or any of the other things I have to do in town. And so I just have more time to study the Bible when I'm on furlough, because even though we're busy running, there's a lot more free time as well. And one of the things, one of the goals for this furlough was for the Lord to really teach me something that will help me be a better Christian and a better servant. And the message I'm going to preach tonight kind of develops out of what the Lord has taught me over the last 7 months. And if I had to describe it in very simple terms, it would be this. The Lord taught me that the most important thing that I need in my life is Him. And to develop a closer, loving walk with Him. And then all the other things, the ministry, the activities, the preparing of message, the preaching, all these other things will fall into place. But what I need more than anything else is Jesus. To know Him, to understand Him, to allow Him to guide my life and to lead my life. The message tonight, that which endures forever, out of the book of Psalms. Psalm chapter 9 and verse 7. Psalm 9 and verse 7, the Bible says, "But the Lord shall endure forever. He hath prepared his throne for judgment." You know, the world we live in will eventually pass away. The scientific law of entropy assures us that things are wearing out, things are breaking down. In fact, scientists recently have calculated that the very protons that make up parts of the atoms in our body will eventually disintegrate. Can you feel it? Yeah. When I have my cell phone on vibrate, and I've got it in my pocket, I'm so thankful when it rings and I can feel and it's my phone vibrating, I'm not having a heart attack. But, no, the scientists say the very particles that make up our body are going to eventually disintegrate. Are you worried about that, Joe? I'm not worried about it at all. Let the scientists worry about that. We have God who endures forever, amen? The Bible says the earth, this present earth, Hebrews 1:11 says it'll wax old like a garment. It'll wear out like your clothing. Or you'll outgrow it like Daniel. He's outgrown his suit. Anybody Daniel's size and Aaron's size that needs a nice suit, they'll be hanging in the giveaway department here when we leave. There's no sense taking them back. They've both outgrown their suits. So anyway, but this earth will wax old, the Bible says, like a garment. Yet the Bible assures us that there are things that will not wax old. There are things that will endure forever. The first thing we want to see from the book of Psalms, God himself will endure forever. What a blessing to know the Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal Lord, the eternal God. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, takes on new meaning when you get to the point of you really begin to know him. You really begin to know who he is. Not in the sense of what he's done for us. Those are all great things. It's a great blessing to know what Jesus has done for us in terms of providing our salvation. But the real thing that we as Christians need is to know him. To know him personally. He knows us. He knows everything about us. Some Christians, I think, are afraid to really get in the Bible and to really know who Jesus is because they foolishly think, well, if I begin to really get close to Jesus and know who he is, he's going to expose my sins. Listen, he already knows your sins. He already knows all about it. There's nothing hidden from him. You need to just develop that close relationship with him, that daily walk with the eternal God, the eternal Savior. God will endure forever. The verse I just read says the Lord will shall endure forever. Psalm chapter 104 and verse 31, the glory of the Lord shall endure forever. The Lord shall rejoice in his works. The glory of the Lord shall remain forever. Now, many times when we think about God and we think about things like holiness or his glory or his loving kindness, we need to get out of our mind thinking about those things the way we think of a human being as being a good person. A good person can become a bad person, can't they? But a holy God can never become an unholy God. A glorious God can never become an inglorious God. A good God can never become a bad God. So those aren't really characteristics of God, though we use that terminology, but they are really the essence of God. The Bible says, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." Not I have holiness, but I am holy. God is light. He doesn't have light. He doesn't shine light. He is light. And as we begin to know more about God, more about the Lord Jesus Christ, we begin to recognize that these, what we call characteristics, really make up the essence of who God is. And it's wonderful to know that you and I don't know you very well. I don't know you the way God knows you, and I don't know you the way you know you. You don't know me very well. You certainly don't know me the way God knows me, and you don't know me the way I know me. And the way I know me, it amazes me. It's a glorious thing to know that the Lord Jesus Christ loved me and loves me and wants me to live for him and wants me to walk with him and gives me opportunities to serve him. That's an amazing thing. That is an absolutely amazing thing that God would even allow Rick Simonson to serve him. And the more I learn about him, the more I realize what a tremendous privilege I have to serve him. So his glory shall live forever. God himself shall live forever. The Bible says in Psalm 72 and verse 17, his name shall endure forever. The name of the Lord Jesus Christ will endure forever. The name of God will endure forever. You know, the world has worshiped a lot of different gods. Over the six millennia since God created the world, people have worshiped many gods. Have any of you ever heard of Mithra? Raise your hand. Not many. Has anybody here ever heard of Tammuz? Not many. Have anybody here ever heard of Krishna? Probably a few more, but not many. You see, these were gods that were worshipped by much of the known world at one time, and their names are pretty much gone from the memory of the world. You can find them in history books. You can find them in theological books, but they no longer exist. They never did exist. And yet God's name will endure forever. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ will endure forever. He's the one we're allowed to serve. Sun Myung Moon. I mean, we've got a generation now that probably you've never heard of Sun Myung Moon. Raise your hand if you've ever heard of Reverend Moon. Yeah, less than half. Less than half. Heather, have you ever heard of Reverend Moon? Pretty much any younger than Heather, they probably didn't. He's dead. He's buried. He's gone. And the world's forgetting the guy. And yet when he was here, he claimed to be Jesus Christ incarnate. He was Jesus Christ in the flesh, according to him. But my Bible says his name will endure forever. But Sun Myung Moon's name hasn't endured forever, has it? No, that's right. But God's name will endure forever. These others are all gone and for the most part forgotten. But Jesus Christ remains forever. Psalm 135, 13. Thy name, O Lord, endureth forever, and thy memorial, O Lord, throughout all generations. Listen, the God of the beginning, the God who created all of this world, the entire universe. How big is the universe? Scientists can't tell us. Every time they make a better telescope, it's bigger. You know, they say, well, it's, you know, it goes out this far and there's X number of billions of stars. And, you know, then they build a better telescope and they triple or quadruple the number of stars and how far out it goes. And you know, they haven't found the wall at the end yet. The God who created all that by his spoken word some 6,000 years ago or thereabouts, 4,004 B.C., September 9th. Is that right, Thomas? Do I got that date right? That God is still the same God we serve on October 27th, 2013. The very same God, that same creator God. He allows you Rains boys to serve him. Stephen, we get to go to Kenya and serve the creator God. You know, what an amazing... By the way, guys, I want you all to remember, we have a honeymoon cottage next door to our house in Kenya. So, you know, you guys that are... you know, I want to get all the Rains guys over there preaching. Maybe not all at the same time. I'm not really sure Kenya could handle them all at the same time, but... We've had enough Rains guys over now. There's only a few more left that we got to, you know, get over at least to do some preaching. Okay, So God's name endures forever. Psalm 9 and verse 7, the verse I read already, but the Lord shall endure forever. He hath prepared his throne for judgment. Who sits on a throne? The king. And the King of Kings, the eternal King of Kings, has prepared his throne for judgment. If you're here today and you've never put your faith in the King of Kings, you've never put your trust in him. Young people, I'm not talking about that one day you prayed a prayer. Praying a prayer might work and it may not work. Because what really matters is what's in here. You know, if your heart has totally trusted, put your total commitment and dependence upon God, then praying a prayer can get the job done. But just praying a prayer is not the road to salvation. It may be a step along the way. So I'm not saying, did you come forward someday in Sunday school and pray a prayer? But have you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? Pastor, remember when Mark Montgomery got saved? Yeah. Here's a guy who made a profession of faith at his grandmother's knee at 6 years old, 7 years old, I guess it was. And all his life, his parents told him, yeah, you got saved. He'd have doubts. Oh, you got saved. Grandma led you to the Lord. Senior year of Bible college at Maranatha Baptist Bible College, traveling, preaching, serving the Lord all summer long between his junior and senior year. And the day his senior year opened, the day before, Labor Day, Mark Montgomery put his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. See, it wasn't just praying that prayer at grandma's knee. It was putting his faith, his dependence upon Jesus Christ. Young people, if you've not done that yet, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Not tomorrow, not next week, not next month. You need to be saved today. So God endures forever. His attributes also endure forever. I've talked about a little about this. Psalm 112 and verse 3 says, his righteousness endureth forever. God is a perfect, righteous God. God won't make any mistakes. He can't make mistakes. He can't do anything unkind. When I preach a funeral, I will often share that with people. Remember, God is too wise to make any mistakes, and he's too good to do anything unkind. And those characteristics, that attributes, his righteousness, his holiness, his goodness will endure, the Bible says, forever. Forever. And that eternal righteousness that is of God is available to each one of us. Philippians 3:9 says, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. That eternal righteousness is what God has imputed, has placed upon me, and has placed upon you if you're a Christian tonight. That's one of the reasons I do not believe that a Christian can lose their salvation. I mean, there are many other reasons. But if God's righteousness is eternal, as the Bible said, and he has imputed that eternal righteousness to me, I can't die. I can't die spiritually. I am an eternal being the moment I put my faith in Christ. The Bible says also, his mercy endureth forever. All 26 verses of Psalm 136, and his mercy endureth forever. In fact, 16 other times in the Psalm, that phrase is used. His mercy endureth forever. What is God's mercy? We saw up above that God's name endures forever and he's preparing his throne for judgment. Who deserves to stand before God in judgment for punishment? Every single one of us. And yet that's not going to happen because his mercy endureth forever. It's very, very important, I think, for a Christian to understand the differences in the concepts of mercy and grace. Grace is God's loving kindness that gives us what we do not deserve. And mercy, again, is God's loving kindness that withholds from us what we do deserve. And with a Christian, we have both. Amen? His mercy endureth forever. If there was ever one thing that we should thank God for, it's that his mercy endureth forever. It's not the only thing, but it's certainly one of the things that every believer needs to thank God for. The Bible says in Psalm 52:1, his goodness endures forever. The goodness of God endureth continually. Endureth continually. Matthew 7:11, if then being evil, you know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good gifts to them that ask him? Listen, all that I have from God is good. And all that I have that is good comes from God. Now, somebody might give me a gift on this earth, and I say, that was a good hamburger. Who made those hamburgers? Mr. Myers? Yeah. I could say, Mr. Myers, you made the best hamburgers in the world. But a good hamburger is not eternal, is it? You know, I could say, okay, Brother Myers made really great hamburgers. Bring one of those up. We want to all see it. You know, we probably wouldn't want to see it in the condition it's in right now, would we? You know, but God's goodness is forever. And all we have that is truly good comes from God himself. Then we go on and we find that God's word endures forever. God's word endures forever. In Psalm 119:189, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. 1 Peter 1:25, the Bible says, but the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word by which the gospel is preached unto us. The Bible, this book, is an eternal book. Eternal message. The same message that went to those first century Christians as the Bible was written is the same message for us today. It's an eternal message. You know, books have been written about the subject of the eternality of God's word, the preservation of God's word. There's a lot of godly men who have written books saying, for instance, that forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven means forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. And then there's a lot of books written by fools who say it doesn't mean that. It means something different. It means that, you know, at one time there was. One of the most foolish arguments I've ever heard, and you've heard them, is that God's word is preserved in heaven. What earthly good does that do anybody? What good does that do you? What good does that do me if God's word is preserved in heaven and what we have is not God's word? You know, how ridiculous. But the Bible clearly teaches that the Bible itself, God's word, is eternal. God's word is forever. Psalm 100 verse 5, the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and his truth endureth to all generations. His truth, the Bible, every generation from the time of the very first writers of the Old Testament through the New Testament, the writing of the Old Testament, every single generation to follow has had access to God's word. It has been there for them and it is there for us. Amen. It is God's eternal truth. It endures forever. And finally today, I'm getting hungry. Anybody getting hungry? All right. Don't you love it when the preacher says, finally? Now, those of you who've been here very long know when I say finally, that still could be an hour left. You never know. Finally, we see in the Bible that God's true children will endure forever. Psalm 89, verse 36, his seed shall endure forever. For me, I don't know about the rest of you, but I think it's true. Heaven became a sweeter place a couple weeks ago. If there are two things that I have absolutely been thrilled with in being in this church. It's watching the young men and young ladies serve the Lord. And it's having the privilege of sitting in front of the Butas. You know, until we came home on this furlough, we had met the Butas. They were just another elderly couple at Maquanago. It kind of reminded me, Pastor, of Louis Rogers. I don't know if you remember what I shared at his funeral. But I said, if we'd have buried Louis Rogers a month ago, I would have been burying a man. But today I'm burying a friend, because I'd had the privilege of sitting with him every night for those last couple of weeks. And what a joy it was to get to know the Butas and to know that I have a beloved friend who is in heaven today. Because God's seed endures forever. Forever. All who have been born again will live forever in heaven with God. John 3:3. Jesus answered and said unto them, verily, verily, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. When Keith Bennett was witnessing to me, before, it was maybe a week or two before I came to church. There's only a couple of you here who know who Keith Bennett was, but some of us remember. He said to me, he said, Rick, look here in John chapter 3. And I'm looking at his Bible, he's quoting it. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said, Rabbi, we know that thou art a man come from God, for no man doeth the things that thou doest except God be with him. And Jesus answered and said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the king. Well, Keith's doing that. I'm looking at, he knows the whole Bible. I mean, that really impressed me. You know, here was a kid that I grew up with. He was a drunken drug addict. And now he knows the whole Bible. I mean, that was one of the things that really moved me to say, there must be something to this Baptist church that these guys are going to. And I just thank God for that. His seed endureth forever. And God says, except a man be born again, he's not going to endure forever. At least not in heaven. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. John 1:12 says, as many as received him, the Lord Jesus Christ, to them gave he power to become the sons of the children of God. Wouldn't it be great to be the child of a king? Or a president? You know, they get privileges that you and I can only dream about. And yet being a child of the King of Kings, being a child of the eternal kings, is so, so, so much greater than being in the child of an earthly king. Study history sometimes. Study the history of the Bible. You know, he's a child of the king. King dies, he takes the throne, his brother kills him. Then he takes the throne and the servants kill him. You know, Bible history pretty much mirrors world history. I mean, if study English history. You know, some guy ascends to the throne and then all of a sudden he dies poisoned by his younger brother or his cousin or whatever, and he takes the throne until somebody else figures out a way to kill him. You know, so being the child of a king probably isn't all it's cracked up to be. You know. But being a child of the King of Kings is something else entirely. His true children endure forever. Friends, this earth is going to pass away. Young people, high school students, don't fall in love with this world. Enjoy the good things of the world, but don't fall in love with it. I love Culver's. But when I go to Kenya, I won't miss it. I'll enjoy it while I'm here. Go back to Kenya, there's other things to enjoy. But don't fall in love with the world. So many Christian young people who are being raised in a church like this one, and they're moving in the right direction, and they're doing the right thing. Something happens somewhere along the line, usually when they finish high school, and they get a little bit out from under the parents' control. And you know what that is that happens? They fall in love with the world. They fall in love with the things of the world. And the world will never lead them in the ways of godliness, in the ways of truth, in the ways of justice, in the ways of kindness, in the ways of spiritual things. The world will never do that. Don't fall in love with the world. Because this world is going to vanish away. Culver's is going to be disintegrated in a thermonuclear explosion or something to that effect. The elements will melt with fervent heat, even the flavor of the day. But God and His Word and His children will endure forever. What a blessing it is to know the Lord Jesus Christ and to learn more about Him, what He is like, what He desires for me to do. What a blessing, because He is the eternal God and I am one of His eternal sons. Praise God. Father, Lord, it's hard to say goodbye. It really is. Father, I'm thankful for a 9-hour flight. I'll probably be done crying by the time I get to London. Father, I pray that You would preserve everyone in this church. Help them to be faithful to You. Help them to faithfully serve You here, or as You lead them to help in other ministries. Lord, keep them faithful and bring in more people. Lord, I pray You'd accomplish Your will in Pastor's life, his family's lives, and the life of every blood-bought child of God at Maquonago Baptist Church. And Father, I pray for those who may not yet have put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, that they would see that serving and living for the eternal God is greater than anything else they could possibly do with their life. Help each one of us to understand these truths in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor?